Rockland, USA.
Hey, rock stars, from Rockland USA Studios in Washington, D.C., this is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're here to give you ideas, answer your questions, and keep you updated on your path to financial independence without any fees or commissions. I'm Craig with Amanda, your financial coaches, and we're so thankful you've joined us today. You can call us 24 hours a day, 989-888-ROCK. That's 989-888-7625. You can leave a voicemail or text us with your questions or comments, and we'll answer them on the show. And if you're too shy for all that, you can always email us to podcast@rocklandusa.com. Amanda.
Craig.
How are you doing, girl?
I'm good.
Hey, I'm liking the new format. We're trying to get more information in per episode, and I think people are liking that. So
yeah, we're getting a lot more questions from the social media page too, and it's great to be able to answer those live.
Yeah, trying to get more of the media questions on there. And by the way, I know we mentioned it in the opening, but we also have this phone number, 989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. We want you to record your questions so we can play them on the show. And who knows, one day we may do this live and we'll take your phone calls live. That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Yeah, we might have to have a mute button somewhere for that, but we'll see how that goes. Hey, what's coming up in today's show?
We've got a good one again. We've got a number of those social media questions that we just mentioned. We're also going to start our series, Dave Ramsey Baby Steps. So today is baby step number one, the initial emergency fund. And then we're going to wrap it up with a savvy savings segment about your local library.
And before we get into the questions, let me just clarify, because people are like, well, why are you talking about David Ramsey? So I'm a Ramsey Master Financial Coach certified. And so a lot of the information that we talk about is going to have a lot of that Ramsey stuff that you've probably heard on his show for the past, I don't know, 25 years and, you know, Total Money Makeover and stuff that. So we base a lot of that information that we said, but we may add other alternatives to that. But that is kind of the core, because it does kind of work. So it doesn't mean we'll have everything about that, but we will add on additional information. Then Amanda's got great tips, because she's done a phenomenal job in her financial experience. We both have. We both have come from debt. And so we have a lot of personal experience.
Crushing debt in my case.
but you know, we have a lot that we can add to that, the real life experiences, which I think you guys would like. And the nice thing is, Amanda, you know, me being the master personal financial coach, it's more of a personal level that we can give to our listeners without them being lost over at the, you know, the Ramsey show or I mean, they're just so huge there, but we can really deliver a more personal approach to this. So if you guys ask questions, yeah, we'll read them on here, and we try and get to all of them. So, and I'm coaching a bunch of people for free right now. I shouldn't have said that, should I? Because now everyone's like,
I was just thinking, wow, you just opened a door.
Well, it's a very limited thing. I try and get them going and get them started, you know, trying to coach them through this thing. So I'm not trying to make money off this. So I'm trying to help out my coworkers. Anyway, social media question. What we got?
Oh, Eric from Minnesota. I went to the University of Minnesota.
Go Gophers. You don't have any of that accent.
I've worked Minnesota. Very hard on my non-regional diction.
I love Minneapolis. That's a great place when I get to go there. I love that downtown. It's really the hamster trails that they have there.
The gopher trails.
Is that what they call? Is that, well, what
golden
they
gophers,
call?
Yeah.
Gopher?
Yeah.
Oh, I call them hamster tubes. Okay. I don't know. What do I know? Anyway.
So Eric from Minnesota, he says, my wife and I both have our 401ks in target date retirement funds. I am 30 years away from retirement and opening a Roth IRA. Should I do the four fund mix Dave Ramsey recommends, which means no bonds, all stock, or a single total stock fund, or do a three fund portfolio with some bonds?
Okay. Number one, we're not financial advisors. Let's just knock that. We're just going to tell you what we would do, or what actually we are doing. How about, is that a better way of saying it? What we are, are doing? Okay. Mm-hmm. So because this has the Dave Ramsey mention in there, see, we're starting to get even Dave Ramsey people over here now because I don't know why they're just starting to show up. I think because they know I'm a coach. So they're coming over here now too. So there's several parts that I saw in this. Don't you agree?
Yes.
So let's quickly mention, if you're not familiar with the four funds that Dave Ramsey in his world recommends, what he does is he has growth in income, aggressive growth, and international. That actually takes a little bit of work. If you have a 401k available to you, you have to go in there and figure out which funds actually are part of that asset allocation.
Right,
Mm-hmm. What does Morningstar call that thing? Is it a growth fund? Is it growth? So it actually takes a lot of work. We have a lot of people from an airline in here, and I know for a fact there's only like 12 funds that they have available to them. They don't have all these funds available. So basically, we can narrow that down further. So he also mentioned target date funds. I don't know how you feel about this, Amanda. I personally don't like target date funds. And here, we've mentioned this before. It has bonds included in them. Also, it could be a fund of funds. There could be more fees and stuff stacked in there that you don't aware of. It just doesn't perform long term if you just do what we're getting ready to tell you to do.
I mean, it's better than just having cash in the bank, but only moderately so. Yeah, big non-believer in I think that's a lazy man's investment fund.
Yeah. And actually, when I do these little talks with groups and stuff, we'll save it for a topic in the future. But I talk about how target date funds actually became, how they showed up. It showed up in the 90s. This has to do with when pensions went away and they had to get Congress to approve them to do this. So that should give you an idea about why they're around. So if they have to get approval to do something for a consumer, there may not be a good thing behind it. Anyway, so we'll get into that another day. That's why we really promote the S&P 500 index funds
or something. Let's just back up 1 minute. So one of the reasons we don't love the target date funds is because of the mix, right? Because of all the bonds and other things in there that just don't perform well or are very safe investments, but safe means the return is much lower. So that's why I personally don't like target date funds, is because of how heavy they are in bonds.
That's an interesting term that you just mentioned, because when I bring this up to people, they really, really do believe that if the stock market go down, that they feel they're safe. That is not true. I could pull up when we start doing videos, I can show them what happened on 9/11, what happened in 2008, 2009. Every fund went down. So this thing that's like, oh, I'm safe if I'm in a bond fund, that is not true. Every fund goes down. So
I said it because that's the perception. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a perception that's out there, and it's a very real thing. Anyway, so there is no such thing as a safe investment. That is not true anywhere. Anyway, so they also mentioned in that question, how many years did they say they're away from retirement? 30 years from retirement. You need to be, in my opinion, as aggressive as possible with quality mutual funds. Don't you agree?
Mutual or index funds?
Well, an index fund is a mutual fund. I guess I was kind of lumping them together, but just be aggressive. So what I do, I know, Amanda, you have a different strategy with what.
Let's just clarify though. So mutual funds, you can only make those purchases at the end of each day. Whereas an index fund, you can buy any time throughout the day. So mutual funds are slightly different than index funds.
Actually, the ETFs you can buy at any time.
Yes.
Not the mutual funds. So if you're 30 years from retirement, if I was 30 years from retirement, Amanda, which is actually
maybe
a very
you are
real
possibility. Because you never retire.
Yes. How many times can I retire in a lifetime? So, like, I'm still very aggressive. Very aggressive. Mm-hmm. I'm not in anything that has bonds in it. I'm 100% stock market. Yeah. I have the S&P 500 index fund. And it can be a Vanguard, it can be a Schwab. I don't know what your 401k is based on, but there should be a S&P 500 index fund in that 401k. Not all 401ks have one, apparently, Amanda, but most do. Most of them will have one in there. And then I pick an additional fund that is a growth stock fund that always consistently over time beats the S&P 500, which means they are even further aggressive. So let's take this airline fund, which a lot of people in our Facebook group has. Okay, so there's something called a Harbor Capital Fund, which has consistently beat the S&P 500. So I tell people just do a 50-50 of that and the index fund and never, ever change those funds. That has to do with dollar cost averaging. People that jump around trying to chase money doesn't work. But anyway, that would be my recommendation. Yeah, and we can talk about dollar cost averaging in other. That's almost like a video that I need to show them a graph to show them how that works. But anyway, do you have any opinions on this?
No, I agree. Just keep set it and forget it. Just like that. What is that? The rotisserie chicken thing that we used to see on infomercials. Set it and forget it.
Yeah, the Ronco. Ronco. And the number one reason that people don't have enough money in their 401k, it's, you know, we talk about picking funds and all that. It's not the funds that they're really picking. It's they're not funding it. So make
the
sure
contributions,
you're right. Make sure you're at least doing 15%. And personally, Amanda, I don't include a company match in that 15%. I'm putting 15% of my money in there. If there's a company match in there, that just makes it better. But that's just me. Some people will do their money and the company match equals 15%. That's up to you. I would just do my 15%. If they want to throw another 10%, hey, now I'm at 25, but I don't even think about that. That's just me.
All right.
So there you go. We have another Facebook question. I'm going to throw this one at you, Amanda.
Okay.
So we have a great Facebook group. I love our people in the Facebook group. Shout out to them. Yes. And if you want to join our Facebook group, it's easy. Facebook.com/group/your401k or go to rockonthemoney.com. There's a button called Facebook group. Just click on there. It'll take you right to it. You can apply to come on in. We have about 2,500 members growing rapidly. And we asked them, actually I did, Amanda. I asked them a hypothetical. If you had advice for your 18-year-old self, I didn't say it had to be financial. I said, if you had advice for your 18-year-old self, what would it be? And we had a bunch of responses. And
we did, yes.
Yeah, what do you got there, Amanda?
Okay, so here's some of our favorites. Christopher said, save more money and not spend it on cars and girls.
What do you mean spend it on girls? What does that mean?
I don't know. I'm hoping he means like,
like dates?
Trying to get girlfriend dates, yes. Okay. Not like the bunny ranch. But
hey, that's legal. We're not saying anything illegal here.
It is legal.
Okay.
Dwayne said, save to buy the things you want. Don't borrow money to get them.
Ooh. That's a good one. Is that a quote? I want to reuse that.
Yeah.
I might have to Google it and see where that who said that. I like that one.
Well, apparently Dwayne said it.
I'll just put his name on the line. I'll say that in quotes and tag him on it. That's
and
awesome.
Just say per Dwayne.
Per Dwayne. I love that one.
Yeah, saved by the things you want. Did you ever borrow money when you were 18?
Oh my God. Okay, so this is gonna sound really weird. I don't have a debit card. Okay. My parents, my schools, Montgomery County, Maryland. And the private schools I got thrown into up in Hagerstown, Maryland, no one ever taught me what to do about money. So when I finally had a job and I had money in the bank and they gave me one of those debit cards, man, I treated that thing like a slot machine.
Oh, no.
I mean, yeah, because if I need 20, and the old ATM, we're going back to the 80s, Amanda. The ATMs in the 80s only gave 20s. There was no fives, tens, right? It was always a 20. I know that sounds crazy, but.
You know what they called ATM machines in Wisconsin back in that time?
What was that?
It's funny. They were called time machines, T-Y-M-E. But can you imagine saying someone, hey, I have to go get some money from the time machine?
Yes. I like that. So, yeah. So then I mean, it was so easy to spend your money, just yep. drain your account. I got so paranoid about debit.
That hasn't changed.
I know, but I got so paranoid about ATM cards being, one day that thing ate my card. I never went and replaced it. And since that day in the 80s, I've never gotten an ATM card because I remember the pain of looking at my balance on that little receipt. I'm like, oh, I would overdraft it every time. I'm like, because you could only get 20s. I'm like, so ever since then, I've just had a thing about ATM. I'm so glad I can just use a card. It's electronic, but I'm so much better with my money now. I've trained myself, but that's my little story about ATMs.
All right. Anyway. So John, he says, start a Roth, even with as little as $50 a month. It would make a huge difference. Absolutely.
At 18 years old, just had someone email me today about that question. Yeah. Have an 19-year-old had $1,500. What's the best thing to do? And they are debt-free with full ride to college. I said, open IRA.
Yep. My son just opened an IRA, a Roth IRA.
And I based that answer on what your son just did, by the way. So if he's wrong, then I just led them down the right path. Yeah. So it's going to be your fault.
That is
the number one thing you do if you're debt-free is open that thing and get used to it. Because I'm telling you, that money from age 19... Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah. Oh. It's going to be crazy. Plus, it just starts you in a good habit of making those contributions.
Yes, exactly. Anyway.
And paying yourself first. Okay, so John said, we just talked about John. Laura says, stop being a complete idiot about literally everything.
I think that's me right there. You read my mind. Exactly.
Yes. Rachel says, say no to credit cards.
So, bingo. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And you know, we talked about before how predatory these credit card lenders are to once you hit 18, you get a whole slew of applications in the mail,
especially on campuses. Mm-hmm. Big time. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. And even just in the mail. So they don't even care if you're in college.
Yeah.
All right. Sean, set concrete boundaries with family and don't be afraid to ever feel bad to cut some out. Reach out to people who are good, successful, and who are natural teachers to become your mentors.
Man, I love that one. That's a good one. Wow. Or Facebook. Mm-hmm. Not just family, but Facebook. Clean out that friends list.
Clean them out. Yeah.
You don't need time for negativity. Just move on. Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy. Poor Jimmy. He says, stop messing around with so many girls.
What's up with the girl thing, man? Wow, that's two of them.
Yeah.
What are you women doing to the guys, man?
I don't know.
High maintenance women. It's Kathy, those engagement rings from the last episode, by the way.
It's those engagement rings.
Sorry, go ahead.
Kathy says, start saving now, even if you think you can't. Now, that's a good one because I think a lot of people think that they can't. And, you know, I posted something in the group not that long ago about how to save like $1,300 this year by doing the week challenge, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So just in the second week of January? So last week you would have saved a dollar. This week is the second week you save $2. And if you just match how many dollars each week with what you're saving, the most you're going to have to save in a week is $52. And you'd have $1,300 not including interest at the end of the year.
I've seen more people this year, this January, post that challenge or money saving tips than I have in any previous year. I do believe Americans nowadays are more aware of their finances and we're going down a very good road and people really, really are being more and more careful about their finances and investing more.
Yeah. And, you know, I talked about this in the past, too, about how, you know, maybe just saving your loose change. You just you all you have to do is start somewhere and then you'll grow from there.
And the number one way to do what she just said, start now, saving now, even if you think you can't. The easiest way to fund a retirement is from your payroll.
Yeah.
Is the easiest way because you never saw it and you don't miss it. I'm telling you, that's how I did it. Anyway, it's just the easiest way to do it. Good.
And Matthew says, I'd get with my 18-year-old self and set some actionable goals in writing. Helen Keller said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision.
Man, oh, they came up with some great quotes in here.
Yeah, that's wow. Deep. Alina says, start with community college. 2, pick your major after 2 terms of college. 3, finish your college in a demand degree. Or if you can't afford a degree, at least try to get a diploma like plumbing or HVAC.
Yes, that's the debt-free way of getting a college education or other education right there.
Great plan, Alina. Finally, Brendan says, when I was 25 and new to the job, I was making $15,800 a year. I thought making $50,000 in 25 years in my retirement was pretty good. Wrong, I was. Plan big, really big. Plan for your retirement very early.
Oh, and that is a firefighter, by the way, and I know who that is. And I keep telling the young kids in the fire department coming in now, I'm still in that union. I'm telling them, I said, that pension is not, it sounds like it's going to be great. It's not going to be enough. You really have to, it's just what they call it, the three-legged stool. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The original way that everything was supposed to work, everybody got a pension, everybody opened a 401k, and everyone got Social Security. All three of those worked together for retirement. Well, pensions went away for 95% of America.
Now
it's on you to do 401k. And what do you say about Social Security?
I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah. Everyone has a belief on that. I don't plan on that. If it shows up, that's great. So most people are down to one-legged stools. So you're down to just your 401k. So, if you have a pension, I don't believe that's going to be enough because you don't know if Social Security is going to be there. You know, it doesn't hurt.
You also don't know if your company is going to go bankrupt before that pension comes due.
Well, a lot of General Electric employees are going through that right now. Yeah. So
how about you, Craig? What would you have told your 18-year-old self?
Oh, there's too many things to list. The money thing kind of really upsets me. Because even though I had the internet in the early 80s, I got on the internet. We've been through this before. In 83, there wasn't any of this information available. There was no YouTube where you can go learn something. There was no podcast. I mean, you couldn't even look up any financial information. It was some news. You could email somebody if somebody had an email address. You know, I had nobody to email, you know. But not having information, not having the schools teach you what to do, you know, in home ec. They stopped doing that in middle school. I think we learned how to make cupcakes and stuff and how to write a check.
I love cupcakes.
Oh, cupcakes are so awesome. Especially here in Washington, D.C. We have Georgetown cupcakes and stuff. We have great cupcakes here in Washington. Mm. But, you know, not having all that foundation, it wasn't available to us. And even in the 90s, when I was doing my 457 in the mutual funds, we basically went off pamphlets. We were doing whatever they just told us to do. We didn't have everything. People today have no excuse with all the information available.
No, there's so much information.
I was born now and I did everything correctly when I turned 18 and told myself, you need to start doing this, start doing that, I'm telling you, I would be 10 times more wealthy than I am now. And everybody out there in their 20s that's listening to this podcast or in our group or listening to any financial podcast, if you do this stuff, you could easily have much more than Amanda or I will ever have. Easily, without even working
hard.
Speak for
yourself, Craig.
Oh, no. I know your value. I know what mine is. If I could do what I'm doing now, back when I was 18, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be, I know everybody's doing this fire movement and they're retiring in their 30s. And I have a lot of concerns about that.
I do too.
When the economy takes a turn, because it's going to take a turn, they're going back to work. But if you could do what they're doing and just keep going with it till at least 50 or your 40s, oh my goodness, the wealth that these people could generate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know, I wish I had all this information back then. I mean, I didn't really seriously get going with this thing probably till my early 40s, even though I was already doing things that just turned out to be correct. I could have been more aggressive with it, is what I'm saying. So I would have been much smarter anyway.
All right.
All right. You got me on a roll there. All right. Let's take a break. I need to go take a break and cool down. I got all fired up there. Hey, when we come back, we are going to do our topic. We're going to talk about baby step one in the seven baby steps. Amanda, and my favorite segment of all time.
Savvy Savings.
Savvy Savings with Amanda. And we'll be right back. Right after this, you're listening to Rock on Money. Everybody to Rock on the Money. I'm Craig with my amazing co-host Amanda.
Yeah,
hi. Great show we got today. We have a lot. There's a lot going on this show. We still got a lot more to go.
Yeah.
So hey, don't forget, check out the website, rockonthemoney.com. Everything's there. Links to subscribe to the podcast or listen to the podcast right there on the website. It looks like a great app right on your phone.
It is. I've listened to it right from the app from the website on my phone.
Yep, you listen to it right there. Hey, what are we doing for our topic today?
Baby step number one.
Yes.
These are the baby steps from Dave Ramsey. So number one, saving $1,000 for an emergency fund.
Yeah, we're going to do the infamous baby steps for Dave Ramsey. And he created this years ago. So we're going to go over this. And just so you know why we're doing this, I'm a master financial coach under the Dave Ramsey program. So I'm certified from them. Actually took the course from Chris Hogan himself, Amanda.
Wow.
The millionaire guy, him and his gorgeous voice. He has that radio.
You know what's funny? Sometimes when I tune in to the program, like the first time it was Chris Hogan instead of Dave Ramsey, he was filling in. I was like, what happened to Dave's voice?
Oh, yeah, because he does fill in. They do that millionaire hour, whatever. Anyway, so
now when Dave takes a vacation and suddenly it's like the Dave Ramsey show. And you're like, what happened to his voice? Is he ill? What's going on?
If he could teach all the courses I've taken in my life, I'd actually pay attention more. He has a great voice to him. Anyway,
I love his saying too, focused and not finished.
Focused and not, is that not me, Amanda?
Yeah.
Even before I knew him, I'm already working two jobs and retired. I'm focused and not finished.
Yeah.
I am actually working on my legacy, my family tree.
Well, let's dive in here. What's
baby step one. We're going to go through all seven of the baby steps in detail. One baby step per the next episode. So we're going to start with number one. And we've talked about this subject before, Amanda, earlier. This is going back like episode one or two or three. So saving $1,000 for an emergency fund. Before we do the emergency fund, we're going to stop. This is what people freak out about this part, Amanda. Yeah. We are going to stop contributions to our 401k, our retirement funds at work.
Okay.
We are going to stop it. We don't care if there's a company match. So this
flies in the face of everything we've said in the previous 16 episodes.
Well, we do want to do the company match. Correct. We do want to do the company match. But the reason why we're stopping that is we're going to knock this out as quick as possible. This is not something we're doing a couple of years. We're going to knock. We're going to go all in on this, which means there's going to be some pain. If you're going to drag this out, then, your debt's going to be lingering and, then you might as well do your contributions to 401k because you're not serious about this. But the reason why we're stopping all outflows is we want to pay off the debt as quickly as possible. In the history of Dave Ramsey, their initial baby step used to be going right to the debt. They found out that did not work, Amanda, because things happen.
Yeah.
Even little things. So they added this step prior to paying off the debt because you need to have something in there just to get going. This is not your full emergency fund. This is just to get you started, okay? So we're only requiring a $1,000 emergency fund. However, if you make under $25,000, Amanda, he only requires you to have $500. Now, we've talked about how hard it is for some people to even come up with $1,000.
Right. And it can be daunting. It can seem impossible.
Yeah, it is. It's difficult, but you really need to have this according to the program. get this in place. Okay, so the main point of all this is we don't want to delay you from getting out of debt. So some people are going to argue that having $1,000 is not a lot to have for an emergency fund. Like, I don't know, come up with some emergencies that could come up along the way.
Your car breaks down.
There you go.
You get a flat tire.
Flat tire, yeah. If you didn't buy it at Costco and you have to pay to get it done, what do they charge for a flat tire nowadays? $25, $50 If you didn't get the insurance. See, I go to Costco, so it's included in there.
Yeah. Or your dog gets sick and you have to go to the vet that you weren't expecting.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, it could be all kinds of crazy things. You could have a repair in your house. So,
I hate those.
Yeah. So before we do anything with the debt, we want to stop contributions to retirement. And we're now going to fund this emergency fund. Okay. So, and this kind of gets into what
every time you say stop, I just think stop, collaborate, and listen.
Yeah. That's it's almost like stop, drop, and roll when I was a firefighter telling kids stop, drop, and roll.
Yes. Yes. So we're going to stop. You're going to work on out with your family, and then you're going to listen to what Craig has to say.
Yes, what I have to say. Now, you've also talked about this one subject before about budgeting. I can't remember what episode it is, but if you go back, you need to go through and create a real budget.
Yeah.
Right. And
we'll talk. We'll talk about budgets in greater detail. But yeah.
We'll get. I don't want to dwell on it too much with this baby step, but. Before you do this emergency fund, you really need to work on your budget in detail.
That's the collaborate part.
Right? You got to work with your spouse. You both need to be on board with this plan. Yeah. It does not
Otherwise,
work.
You got dead weight.
If one spouse does not want to do it and one does, you need to, I know it sounds crazy, you need to seek counseling or get a coach or somebody to get you two together. Say, look, if you want to do this, you want to be out of debt, think about what it would be like to not send money out all the time. You have money to do things together with. You know, a lot of marriages have been saved by just doing getting out of debt and having money. I mean, think about
that. Because the number one thing that couples argue about is money. So if there isn't any money, the arguments are you know, exponentially longer, more frequent.
Yeah. You get to do vacations together. Yeah, and just enjoy life. I mean, just think about it. Anyway, so we won't dwell on this too much more, but the first step is the thousand. So if you have any questions or comments about the first baby step, please send it in to podcast@rockonthemoney.com and we'll talk about it. Or comment on Facebook.
What are some ideas on how people can come up with $1,000, though?
Well, now we're getting back to
gigs. One of the persons earlier on the advice they give the 18-year-old is save even if you think you can't. So a lot of people think they can't save $1,000. What should they do?
Well, you have things called eBay or your favorite, your Facebook marketplace. There are a lot of things in your house. Actually, this is leading into paying off debt as well, Amanda. Actually, might as well start thinking about this. Get a second job. Deliver pizzas if you have to. I know you may have to suck up your pride.
We talked about gigs a couple episodes ago. Yeah.
You may have to suck up your pride. And if your neighbors see you delivering pizzas, hey, who cares what your neighbors think? You're the one that's on a mission to pay off your debt. To get started, start thinking about everything in your house that you have. Everybody has several $1,000s worth of things in their house that they could sell right now.
Low hanging fruit. Something you could sell or something you could stop spending money on immediately.
Right. You know, we're going to get into things that you may have to consider about selling to pay off debt. It's about cars and boats. We'll talk about that later. But I'm talking about little things you could throw on eBay that are just laying around.
Or any of our savvy savings segments are great places to start saving money so that you can put that money instead of spending on these other things. You can put it towards your $1,000 emergency fund.
Yeah. So check out our other episodes. We talk about groceries, like going to Aldi instead of Safeway. Things like that can cut your food bill down by 50% right there.
Yeah.
Don't go to a restaurant unless you plan on working there. Yeah. That's what Dave Ramsey says all the time. I want to see you in your restaurant unless you're working there. Yeah. Things like that. Just not going to restaurants or ordering even pizza. You know, buying a pizza at Domino's, you buy one or two pizzas at $30. That's insane nowadays.
Yeah.
You can make your own pizza for $5. Anyway, I mean, there's a lot of ideas. Just are you willing to do it or not?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. Speaking of which, The woman with all the answers is Savvy Savings. What you got for us this week?
Oh, today we're going to talk about your local library.
What?
Yeah.
How is the library going to save me money?
Yeah, great question. When was the last time you were at a library, Craig?
Okay, I will honestly wonder why even libraries exist. That's just me, because I haven't been to a library, I don't know, in ages. I can't even think of when I've been to a library. We have them all around me. I just don't go.
Well, that's probably because you don't know what they have at them anymore.
That is a damn good point. I will give you that.
Well, let me share with you some of the things that local libraries have for you and how you can save money elsewhere in your budget.
Let's do it.
So obviously, libraries have books. That's the easy one. Yes.
Sorry.
So, you know, that's a very free and long option for entertainment. So think about how long it takes you to read a book versus watch a movie. that's a great entertainment option.
I think that's me. I wait for the movie version. Good.
Yeah, exactly. And there's lots of Netflix things that are coming out that are based on books, like this new series, The Witcher, is based on a book series. So you could get probably even greater experience reading. So that's the obvious one. But did you know you can also rent electronic books from your library, like for reading on your Kindle? So I know a lot of people have moved away from paper reading and are now reading books on Kindle or their favorite tablet. Mm-hmm. Yep, you can check them out. Yeah, you can just sign with your library card. You just sign up for an account. And if it's not available, it just like if you go on a wait list for the hardcover book, you get on a wait list for the electronic book. My husband is always doing that. Now, one thing I will caution you about is how many books you request at a time, because his all seem to become available at the same time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then he has to read like five books in a couple of weeks. But
gotcha.
It's a great option because I hadn't known that either. And instead of paying, you know, a couple dollars every time you want a book on Kindle from Amazon, you could instead rent it from the library.
Awesome.
They do have streaming options for TV and movies through something called Hoopla.
Hoopla?
Yeah.
Is that an app? How do I get the streaming though? Where does it show up at? Is it an app or something?
What's Hoopla? Device. Hoopla. I don't know. You have to look into your library.
Oh, crap. That's crazy. Hoopla.
Yeah. So they have TV episodes, movies, music, all sorts of streaming options through Hoopla.
Okay.
They have Wi-Fi. So obviously, if you need some Wi-Fi for use with your laptop or anything, you can go to your local library, but not just in the building. My library here in Tampa, also, I saw they loan out hotspots.
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and they do it for 14 days at a time, and you can renew it as many times as you want. So you wouldn't even need like a Wi-Fi plan.
Hold on a second. So I could go to my library.
Well, I don't know about your library.
Yeah, if it's available. My library. But I could take a hotspot with me on like a vacation or with me traveling?
Yes. I know. I was amazed by this. I thought that was amazing.
That might be the best tip I've ever heard in my life. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I was shocked. And my library has done away with late fees and fines. So they just say bring it back when you can. So obviously, if you never bring it back, they're going to just charge you and you have to buy it. But
yeah.
So they have great meeting spaces as well. And like my local library also has recording studios and more. So if you have an interest in recording music, you can rent out a recording studio free.
We could be recording the podcast at the library?
We could.
That'd be crazy.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I wonder how good the equipment is, but that's it. You know what? If people wanted to do their own podcast, that'd be actually pretty cool.
I bet it's great, Craig, because the libraries have really been stepping up their game so that they don't become obsolete.
Well, they want to be taken out of the tax budget either.
Yeah, exactly. So you could also get movies there. So not just the streaming options, but they do still carry like DVDs and Blu-rays. So it's a great alternative to Redbox. Maybe not as convenient because it's not right there as you walk out of Walmart, but it's definitely an option and it's 100% free. They have magazines and newspapers that you can borrow, and they do have the electronic versions of those as well. They have music, so you can borrow CDs to test them out. And some libraries have free download programs as well, so you wouldn't have to pay for downloading from iTunes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. They have computers. A lot of people know that they have computers, and they some of them even have low-cost printing options. So if you need to print something real quick and you're out of ink or paper at home, you can run over to the library.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, they have a lot of special events. So a lot of libraries host these free family entertainment events or great entertainment for kids, either during the day or little groups. They have book discussion groups. So again, if you are reading those books instead of watching the movie, you could then also go and meet with other individuals who have like interests and have a discussion.
Oh, nice.
I do that all the time. My husband thinks I'm a dork.
No, I think it's awesome.
They have personal development workshops. So lots of workshops that they post on their events page are related to, you know, how to improve your own personal skills, either your computer skills or other types of skills. They have some classes. I saw our local library here had posted that they have an event coming up on how to teach you how to knit. So they have hobby classes, things like that. They have a lot of job hunting resources. So if you're in the market for a new job, they have lots of resources there. And some of them have resume writing courses and advice as well.
Cool.
Some of the more unexpected things that you can rent there. I bet you didn't know that some libraries will rent out a karaoke machine.
Get out of here.
Or a chocolate fountain.
Wait a minute. What? Is my tax dollars paying for this?
I have no idea.
How
about a hiking backpack?
Why would I? What is this, Walmart?
No, you can rent all of these things free of charge, or instruments. They have some of them have instruments you can rent out. So think about the rental fees you're paying for your kids to play their sixth grade instrument. You could be renting them from the library instead.
Oh, nice.
Sewing machines. Some of them have sewing machines.
Oh, cool.
Board games and all sorts of toys. Some of them rent out tablets. Yeah, lots of things that I certainly didn't expect they offer as rentals.
That's insane.
There's also a lot of times they have partnerships where they offer free museum passes. So if you're looking for other entertainment options, you might be able to score a free museum pass from the library.
Hmm.
And then they also oftentimes offer help preparing official documents. So like our local library here helps with passport application preparing. A lot of times this time of year, they offer help with tax form preparation. So you get a lot of help there with your official documents.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Now, I have heard of that. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So that's the local library. Lots of things I didn't know, but definitely a great resource for all sorts of rentals, not just books.
Your tax dollars at work. Go out there and use it. I mean, we're all paying for it. You might as well use it, right?
Yeah, I heard you click-clacking there. Were you looking up on whether or not we're paying for this with our tax dollars?
I already know I'm paying for it. I live in Maryland.
Or were you Googling your local library to see what they have?
Oh, no. I am going to check and see what they have, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, now, so you'd be surprised. They have a lot of really great things. They're trying to modernize and stay competitive.
All right. Pretty good. I love it. Well, thank you very much, Amanda.
Thanks, Craig.
All right. Don't forget to check out our website, rockonthemoney.com, for all the previous episodes. We have articles, show notes, everything right there. Plus links directly to all of the podcast platforms where you can easily subscribe to the podcast, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and many others. We really do appreciate all of your support. We have a lot of gratitude that you took the time to check us out. We really do appreciate it. Send us an email and tell us what you think to podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. We'll see you again next time on Rock on the Money. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.
Wouldn't have to pay for downloading from iTunes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. They have computers. A lot of people know that they have computers, and they some of them even have low-cost printing options. So if you need to print something real quick and you're out of ink or paper at home, you can run over to the library.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, they have a lot of special events. So a lot of libraries host these free family entertainment events or great entertainment for kids, either during the day or little groups. They have book discussion groups. So again, if you are reading those books instead of watching the movie, you could then also go and meet with other individuals who have like interests and have a discussion.
Oh, nice.
I do that all the time. My husband thinks I'm a dork. But.
No, I think it's awesome.
They have personal development workshops. So lots of workshops that they post on their events page are related to, you know, how to improve your own personal skills, either your computer skills or other types of skills. They have some classes. I saw our local library here had posted that they have an event coming up on how to teach you how to knit. So they have hobby classes, things like that. They have a lot of job hunting resources. So if you're in the market for a new job, they have lots of resources there. And some of them have resume writing courses and advice as well.
Cool.
Some of the more unexpected things that you can rent there. I bet you didn't know that some libraries will rent out a karaoke machine.
Get out of here.
Or a chocolate fountain.
Wait a minute. What? Is my tax dollars paying for this?
I have no idea.
Why am I renting a chocolate?
How about a hiking backpack?
How would I? What is this, Walmart?
You can rent all of these things free of charge or instruments. They have some of them have instruments you can rent out. So think about the rental fees you're paying for your kids to play their sixth grade instrument. You could be renting them from the library instead.
Oh, nice.
Sewing machines. Some of them have sewing machines.
Oh, cool.
Board games and all sorts of toys. Some of them rent out tablets. Yeah, lots of things that I certainly didn't expect they offer as rentals.
That's insane.
There's also a lot of times they have partnerships where they offer free museum passes. So if you're looking for other entertainment options, you might be able to score a free museum pass from the library.
Hmm.
And then they also oftentimes offer help preparing official documents. So like our local library here helps with passport application preparing. A lot of times this time of year, they offer help with tax form preparation. So you get a lot of help there with your official documents.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Now, I have heard of that. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So that's the local library. Lots of things I didn't know, but definitely a great resource for all sorts of rentals, not just books.
Your tax dollars at work. Go out there and use it. I mean, we're all paying for it. You might as well use it, right?
Yeah, I heard you click-clacking there. Were you looking up on whether or not we're paying for this with our tax dollars?
I already know I'm paying for it. I live in Maryland.
Or were you Googling your local library to see what they have?
Oh, no. I am going to check and see what they have, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, now, so you'd be surprised. They have a lot of really great things. They're trying to modernize and stay competitive.
All right. Pretty good. I love it. Well, thank you very much, Amanda.
Thanks, Craig.
All right. Don't forget to check out our website, rockonthemoney.com, for all the previous episodes. We have articles, show notes, everything right there. Plus, links directly to all of the podcast platforms where you can easily subscribe to the podcast, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and many others. We really do appreciate all of your support. We have a lot of gratitude that you took the time to check us out. We really do appreciate it. Send us an email and tell us what you think to podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. We'll see you again next time on Rock on the Money. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.